T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, man, homo sapien. What else? He's got Scottish and in that in
Irish,
back,
something
Irish
like that.
A little in there. Okay, yeah. All right, here we go. He's from Florida.
Oh man, yeah. We didn't get a word of the day.
Oh,
bookcase.
Today, we also have that laugh you heard was Hottie Patati Will Schmidt.
Hi.
Hello. Will just made some popsicles that I want to go in there and try in a minute.
Me too.
What?
Yeah, it's getting warm.
Nina's
out. It's
telling me
time.
Something. Don't you be bossy with me, Missy. Oh, she told me to stop moving. Oh,
We're 50 seconds in. We're rocking.
Yeah. Yeah. That is. I am really excited about those popsicles. I just want to say to you guys, we got a really fun cookbook coming out soon.
Yeah.
I don't know, a couple months away. It's going to be called Cook for Your Chemistry, and it'll be full of yummy, tasty, awesome, super healthy things that you'll be able to enjoy.
So we're cooking stuff now, and then we take pictures of it, and I don't know how you're going to take pictures of
and
that
we eat
before
it.
They melt. How does that even work?
She's fast.
Okay.
Gonna set up the shot. Remember when we didn't even have a sponsor? That was silly. So now Audible.com is giving all of our listeners a free audiobook of their choice just because we say Audible.com. To find the link, go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook.
Audible.com.
Audible.
Do all of us have to say Audible? Will, do you
audible?
Have to say
Audible?
Audible.com.
Did I say Audible?
Audible.com.
Audible. Audible.com.
That's hard to say a lot of times.
It is.
We should probably do the show now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if this is your first time hearing us, I'm very sad about that.
Yeah, where you been?
This is actually a continued show from the last show about digestion that we spent so much time on. We had to make two shows into it. And I have a feeling, knowing these two, we could probably do every show on digestion.
It really could. It'd be fun.
Yeah, and that's my fun topic is digestion. Because
yeah.
It always leads back to my poop.
Yeah. And if you didn't hear the first of the part one of this digestion show, it's okay because we're basically just answering random questions. But don't we have other specific topics too, other shows if you have these issues?
Yeah, if you didn't hear the first one, you can always find that by searching for it on Kick It Naturally on iTunes or Stitcher. But if you have any of the following issues, we've already done full episodes on, like understanding constipation, understanding acid reflux, heartburn and GERD, understanding IBS, Crohn's and colitis, food sensitivities and food allergies, all those past podcasts, you can also find it by searching for Kick It Naturally on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like a show, please be sure to leave us a review. If you don't like it, then, you know, keep your mouth shut.
If you don't like the show, then iTunes doesn't do reviews. They don't have
them. Exactly. But if you do like it, they do.
Then they do have them. I can't remember what I was going to say just then, but it was something about... I forgot still. Oh, I got excited when I thought I had. But then...
We'll do a show on forgetfulness.
Yeah. That's more... That
we'll
can
forget
be a
to do a show.
A lot of these, we won't get into it as in-depth as we do in some of those full episodes. So if we talk about constipation a little bit and you're like, hey, I want to hear more about that, then you can listen to those other shows. And
we'll give them a teaser.
Yeah, this is a teaser about... not being able to poop.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not already in enough pain. So then we're going to tease you with a little bit of information. You'll nearly get that information that you need, and then we won't give it.
And then you'll still be like, I just want to poop. Yeah,
exactly.
But at the beginning of the last episode, previously on Kick It Naturally, we'll explain digestion a little bit and how it's supposed to work. So if you don't know, like if you think digestion is about fiber and probiotics, then I want you to go back and listen to part one first so that you can get a base understanding of how it's really supposed to work.
You got to have that sizzle.
Sizzle.
Just like jazz
hands.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
beyond that, let's knock these out. Let's get into questions
right,
and see what people want to know about.
All right. Carmen from New York, and Franz. both have the same thing. They say diverticulitis with exclamation points.
And there is. There's exclamation points that go with that. Usually.
You know, I don't really know exactly what diverticulitis is, but I do have a dear friend that just went into the hospital, had diverticulitis, had all kinds of scar tissue built up in his colon, caused a blockage, which then caused a perforation, and then caused leakage into his body from everything in his colon, which... Now he has a blood infection because of that. So
from everything
I mean,
in his colon seeping into
the
body.
Yeah, exactly. And it's toxic and stuff. And he was telling us for years he was full of shit and we just weren't listening.
Right. So what happens is, my understanding is with diverticulitis is that these little pouches form in the colon. And then either food particles or fecal matter can get in there and cause either an infection or a lot of inflammation. It seems to be a situation where there's a lot of inflammation in the colon. Yeah, it sounds like your friend, you know, if things get so inflamed and so much scar tissue that things can't move, then, you know, he's still eating. So there's still stuff that needs to go someplace.
He actually did stop eating and only went to liquids. And I mean, he was down to 110 pounds
wow,
and he's
yeah.
a man. So it got really bad. He's an older guy, 72, 73. And just now, I mean, this is months and months. He's just been cleared juices and stuff before everything else was like, you know, clear. So it had to be a clear juice, but now he can have some fruit and different things. And
right.
Stuff.
So if it blocks up so much, then sometimes all that junk can push through this colon, you know, this tube that is a enclosed situation. It can break through that. And then all of a sudden he's got all that poop stuff going back into his body where we really, really don't want it. And that's a very advanced situation with diverticulitis
that was years and years.
Involved. There could have been other issues involved in that as well. But, you know, you hear a lot about don't eat seeds and nuts and a lot of those things that can get caught up in those little pouches. But I've also read a lot about that there is no scientific proof showing that removing those seeds and nuts creates any benefit whatsoever. But there does seem to be some benefit from removing some of those things that can create inflammation in the intestinal tract. And grains are the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that causes problems for more people than anyone else. And, you know, talk about a little bit, Will, about how food that isn't broken down can create a problem if someone is not, you know, digesting in a manner that's turning that into just elemental nutrients.
Yeah, any food, not just grains or seeds or whatever. Like, it could be protein that you're not breaking down well. If you don't have enough stomach acid to break that down, or if you don't have bioflow to break down any food that has any sort of fat in it, then those foods are going to ferment and give birth to, like, not cool off, like, byproducts of toxic waste from the bacteria that is eating it and rotting it inside your system. And all of those things can cause inflammation because, like, they'll wreak havoc inside, whether it's free radical damage or just, like, their exotoxins that are irritating the intestinal lining. So they can cause all sorts of different problems just because you didn't have the stomach acid to break down your proteins or the bioflow to break down the fats or the combination of the two to break down foods rather completely.
And you also read a lot about that people with diverticulitis also will have slow stool motility, and then they will have a constipation issues. And it kind of makes you wonder, is the inflammation and the scar tissue, you know, causing that problem? Or is it the constipation and the stool not moving and all those toxins, you know, irritating the tissues? Is that what's creating the diverticulitis issue? Who knows? It kind of seems like the constipation may be an underlying cause. So if you have diverticulitis and you're plugged up and you poop a couple times a week, if you're lucky, you know, fixing that issue could create some type of improvement. And we do talk a lot about how to do that in the constipation episode. But other things that people say, you know, is that, you know, eating food that's not digested is a stress on the body, but so is stress. So if you're living in a stressful situation, what could somebody do about that?
Yeah, well, there's different things like that can cause stress, whether you're stuck in the fight or flight or sympathetic state because your job sucks, or you're...
Maybe Kenna could tell us about that.
Yeah, right? I could tell you about jobs.
Right. Or like if your body chemistry is off in such a way to throw you into fight or flight, it can just make you feel stressed all the time, even if your job is awesome, like my job.
Right.
This may be a crazy question, but if you have problems with that digestion, what if you put all your food, like protein and everything, in a blender? And you blended it, and then would that help you?
Well, that's why people, you
juice
know,
and stuff. Like
that, you know, all the juicing, all the blending is a craze, because if people have no digestion and they put them in these awesome blenders that can like blend an iPhone,
finally they're able to get some.
They
but
get some nutrients.
They get a lot of sugar with that.
Yeah, but the problem is, yeah, that those sugars turn to liquids, and then you're spiking insulin, and that's a whole other problem. But if a person can make a juice or a shake that's not
salmon
delicious.
Salmon shake?
Yeah, like a salmon meatloaf shake.
Yeah, something like that.
Brussels sprouts and meatloaf shake. That's what you want to have. But something without a lot of sugars in it, and you're getting those nutrients, then all of a sudden it's beneficial. But the option could be fixed digestion, and then you don't have to put your meatloaf in a blender.
Okay, I thought that sounded fun.
But yeah, so reducing stress.
Did you want me to say more about that?
Yeah, let's say more about that.
So like we talked about, I'm not going to do the equation thing again, where it tells you about this little equation you can do with your breath rate and blood pressure to show that you're in.
But you can, where can people learn that?
Yeah, if you go to mybodyofknowledge.net, the blog, they're just type in the little search box, stress, and it'll bring up the blog page that shows this whole big explanation of your body chemistry in relation to stress and how to know if you're stuck in fight or flight or not. And whether it's from an external source like your job or your dog died or something like that, or if it's from your body chemistry off, like if you're leaning towards diabetes and not processing sugars quickly, mm-hmm. your nervous system will kind of push itself towards being stuck in fight or flight to try to help you speed glycolysis or carbohydrate metabolism. And that will also, like, that's legitimately in fight or flight. It's not just like, oh, it's just my body. Like, your brain will change too, like what it's doing, and it will prioritize trying to handle the present emergency that it thinks is there and deprioritize digesting food, because that's secondary to running from a tiger.
Right.
So even if there's no tigers. So you will, the worse you become at like handling carbohydrates, the more your nervous system is stuck in fight or flight and the less your body will focus on digestion. So like getting your blood sugar under control, as well as like getting your life circumstances under control, whether it's, you know, relationship things or job things.
So it might be time for the mother-in-law to move out.
Yeah.
Or your boss to stop walking into a room and scaring you.
Right.
Yeah. I have to, like, if a kid is like in another room of the office, I have to like make some kind of noise to let her know that
text
I am
approaching.
Text me to let me
know. Yeah,
usually like two trash can lids.
Two trash can lids work well.
I'm stuck in fight or flight all the time. Right. I scream.
But
time
if I walk up and I say, like, I'm coming, it's too late. I've already scared. Yeah. She screams, and then you just hear pee trickling down her leg.
Exactly. Have you tried, like, warning her with a BB gun or something?
Yeah. Idea.
But there's things like, so on this, that blog post, there's some information about like what kind of steps you might want to take to push your chemistry out of fight or flight, as well as some tips about meditation, which can also really help if it's a mental issue you're working on.
Right. So there's the chemistry in your body can push you in a state where you're stressed all the time, but then also stress in your life can create issues in your chemistry and in your body that cause trouble too. So it's good to get the chemistry right and then simmer down.
Yeah.
Shake it up. Oh, I'd be mad if my parents named me that.
Shake it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Kenna wasn't being funny. That was this person's Facebook name.
I think it's a good page.
So I think so as far as you know, I hear about people getting the best results with diverticulitis issues by removing all the foods that can cause inflammation. So there's like there's a paleo autoimmune diet or system, or not system, but just a formula that people follow, and you're basically removing all grains, all dairy, and all legumes. And those seem to be the things that cause the most inflammation issues for the most amount of people. So if you can remove those and see if you improve, and do some steps to fix digestion so you're really breaking food down, all of a sudden you might see something happen. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So Shake It Up. This is from Shake It Up.
Yeah. I think that's just their Facebook name.
I was being funny, but nobody got it. Nope. Because they can't see what I'm looking right. at, so yeah. nobody gets the joke. Anyways, I was going to say Shake was the first name, It is the middle name, and Up is the... Yeah.
That would have been a good time. Still not funny. 14 minutes in.
I'm still explaining that joke. Okay, passionate about moringa. Moringa or moringa?
Moringa.
Moringa. As a natural source of nutrition, perhaps look into this as a natural remedy for those who are still looking for something that might help in this area. Good luck to all. Just love this page. We'll promote it.
Thank you, Shake.
Tony, are you really Shake?
No.
You're really Shake.
Have you ever used this stuff?
Moringa, no, but I have a lot of hippie friends that are really into it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and they've said it's like this miracle leaf that's 100% metabolized by the body. Like your body's like a Native American with it, like doesn't waste a single part of it, and like you don't even poop it out because it's just absorbed into the body.
You just grow leaves later.
Yeah, you just start growing these. So I don't know. I know it's popular out there. I do know that this might be a very, very useful plant in when we look at worldwide agriculture, because it's apparently very easy to grow at home, mm-hmm. and it's also like pretty mineral dense and nutrient dense. So people can, I think it's even, I don't know this for sure, but it might even be a complete protein. So people can like, you know, get a lot of nutrition out of something they can grow at home. And I think that was one of the values of that I heard a different friend talk about. But as far as it being like a natural remedy, that's like saying, oh, these prescription glasses are the best ever.
Right, right.
So, you know, and it's only going to work if your eyes need that.
Right.
You know?
I've had lemon moringa pie. Is that the same thing?
Meringue.
Mm,
sorry.
Ah.
But I don't know. I've never used it. I got nothing.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Thank you, Shake It Up.
Thanks, Shake It. All right.
Kenna, can you explain that joke one more time?
Yeah.
Please, no.
We'll do a whole podcast on the joke. Julie from Graniteville, South Carolina, and Muhammad from Jakarta, Indonesia, from two totally different places on the planet, yet they have the same exact question. Nearly the same exact question. I have always had abdominal pains every time I eat. I have acid reflux, but I think I don't digest my food properly. Help.
I think that Julie's right.
I think she's
and
right
Muhammad, because his question was the same. I just combined the questions.
Did they come in at the same time?
They were right underneath each other, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
We're international.
Maybe they're seeing each other, Julie and Muhammad.
See, I bet they're both right, though. I bet they're not digesting their food well.
Yeah.
You know, if it's hurting every time they eat.
Right.
So,
And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, can you imagine that every time you eat, here comes pain. Like, you know it's coming. And I've seen clients
like
that.
It's a good diet strategy, right?
Right?
Exactly.
I get punched in the face every time I have a salad.
Right. But we talk a lot about reflux on pretty much every episode that we've covered, probably.
Right, so listen to all the episodes.
Yeah, previously, and you'll know where. Yeah, but it's usually from not having enough stomach acid, and without enough acid, you don't digest your food properly, so that line of thinking is probably correct.
Which is the exact opposite of what, like, commercials and doctors and all the prescription companies want you to think.
Yeah, it's very backwards. So I totally recommend you guys take our free course on correcting digestive issues at kickininthenuts.com, and it'll help you debunk the whole misconception about acid reflux and learn how to take steps to fix it.
But let's think about pain for just a second. So if you could reach in and grab your intestines and
that
you could
hurt.
Tie it to the door,
uh-huh.
and then you could slam the door, uh-huh. you'd be like, oh, that hurts. That does hurt. I see why that's not good. So if you're not digesting your food, the food has to break down by rotting and fermenting. And both of those things create these gases that then expand in your intestinal tract, which is expanding the size of that intestinal tract like you were stretching it on the door.
Mm.
So a lot of people experience pain like that. And then if they can improve that digestion so that they can actually break down food correctly and all that gas goes away, then all of a sudden they don't have pain. And they're like, wow, I ate food and I liked it.
Yeah, all I experience when I eat food is love.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
You're an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're having reflux is a good confirmation that you don't have enough stomach acid, and that's where that pain is coming from, is from food that's not broken down.
Yeah. I've had clients, too, before they had nowhere near enough stomach acid, and if they went longer than a few hours, longer than 3 or 4 hours, they would get this super sharp pain, like someone stabbing them in the stomach. And that too, I think, was from gas, from all the like weird fermentation stuff that was going on. And it fixed it when we got enough HCl in there. So whether it's when you eat or because you don't eat, it mm-hmm. shouldn't hurt regardless.
Right. And there could also, if you're getting horrible like cramps too, that could also be bacteria that they kind of do this thing where if some of them are dying off, they kind of clamp on the side of your stomach, and they can be a similar kind of cramping pain too. Mm-hmm. Wow. But yeah. If you had enough stomach acid, you would kill those bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And all Ann says is eating disorders, which I don't understand.
Well, Will will explain all that because he works with all the little Hollywood actress chicks.
I do, yeah. There's like I call it the Hollywood girl profile. Like, it's so common, like, when just walking in the door, you can just tell, like, okay, their urine pH is going to be high, they're going to be constipated, they don't have enough stomach acid, they're going to only live off of sugar.
Their blood pressure is going to be 95 over.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be Kenneth.
Hey, yeah. It's just super typical. Whether they are successfully starving themselves and skinny, or they're just, like, skinny fat, you know? Mm-hmm. Depends where they're at in the whole trajectory. But when you under-eat, not that all eating disorders is under-eating, but in general, when you don't get enough food, nutrition, digesting, whether you're bulimic or you're like starving yourself and then binging or whatever, you deplete your body of the electrolytes like chloride that it needs to make stomach acid. And you're also interfering with your hormone levels and things like that that can mess with your bile production. So you're going to have a really, really hard time digesting food without those digestive juices. So a lot of times people will end up in really tricky predicaments where they can't really digest any food anymore because they went so long without eating it that they lost all the resources they need to break it down. So it's just annoying.
Catch-22.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Right. So, and then another thing, I've had clients will come to me with like a lot of issues like that, and they'll usually fall into some sort of state of like depression and anxiety and forgetfulness and just feel really bloated and gross all the time. And maybe they spent years anorexic and then they're trying to come out of it. But what's interesting is I'll show them how to fix digestion, and they'll start to have blood pressure again and like blood sugar. And they'll freak out because they'll start putting on like maybe a little lean muscle, or they'll start to actually be able to have enough like water retention in their muscles that they gain a little weight, and then they'll start under eating again because they like to be wave thin and they get stuck in that situation. And it's an unhealthy thing to try to be Ethiopian.
Right. But there are also other stages of this. You know, someone trying to be a Hollywood actress is different from someone who weighs 80 pounds and looks skeletal type of situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we've really done a show where we've got into mental disorders, or you know, situations like, you know, bipolar disorder. You know, we've done a little bit of you know, depression and stuff like that, but we find that with a lot of these issues, it's a problem of the brain not getting the resources it needs to function. So the signals,
instead of, you know, somebody was mean to me when I was a kid, it's really their body that's got some, I mean, there might have some issues or some trauma,
right,
but it's really kind of like with their body.
Right. If there's not the minerals there so that the signals can travel, then the brain can't function correctly. And so we're taught that if we sit in front of a psychologist and we talk for 47 hours and we get billed for every one of those hours, then we can eventually figure out what it was that upset us.
So that's a totally useless profession.
I won't say it's useless because people can benefit from it. But I will say that, you know, everybody has something. You know, everybody was, you know, has something that they were, you know, upset them when they were a kid. I never got a drum set. I always wanted a drum set. I feel like I need to talk about that right now. but, you know, it's usually an issue of all of those issues that we have. If we don't have the resources to deal with them, they become a 10. But if our brain, if our body was functioning in a manner that signals could process correctly, we could view things realistically because there's enough electricity in the body for the brain to function correctly, then all of a sudden we can look at those issues rationally. And maybe that problem is still there, but it's more of a 3 instead of a 10. It's something that we can deal with and we can manage.
Yeah.
But if someone gets stuck in a situation, maybe their digestion doesn't working, so they have these low minerals, the brain isn't able to function correctly, their view is that if they eat, they will get fat, even though they look ill and they look like skeletal. Mm-hmm. To them, it's still, they're doing the right thing. They know that if they just hurl after every meal, that everything's going to be fine. And there's a release that comes with that. And they, the endorphins is almost like the nutrition that they're not getting. And they, you know, they, so there's reasons that they do it. It's not that they're just mental or what's wrong with these people, let's put them on drugs. It's a problem of the body trying to function without gas. You know, if you want to go to Target has some cool stuff for like a Kmart type store. I like going to Target.
Did you just discover Target? Or
no, I'm just saying.
Okay, because I've known about Target for years.
I know, but I feel like I don't want to just blow past that.
Right. Target is pretty awesome.
But anyways, if you want to go to Target and you don't have any gas in your car, then you're going to be all pissed off when you break down halfway there and you're like, man, I wanted to go to Target.
You're right. I think
bookcase.
Yeah, we've also covered these, like, and we don't want to dismiss legitimate external causes, right. like if you were in a war, post-traumatic stress disorder, that, mm-hmm. that's totally legit. And we talk more in depth about this on the episodes on depression and anxiety. What we want to say is sometimes it's just body chemistry, and pretty much all the time, working on your body chemistry can help, even if it's a for real thing mm-hmm. that, like,
right.
a plane crash, you survived, and you're like, whatever, you know. So,
my bile's too thick.
Yeah. I also want to take a moment to point out my favorite book about this whole issue, Nutrition in Your Mind,
yeah.
written by George Watson.
You can't buy that at Target, but
no,
it's good.
It is a really good book. And in that, he talks all about how fundamental having a well-balanced metabolism is to mental health. And we talk about that a lot when we look at the slow and fast oxidizer imbalances, the rate at which your body's burning through the different fuels, proteins, fats, and carbs, which you can tell a lot about by your breath rate. So if you're dealing with eating disorders and things like that, it may be a great idea to see a therapist, but it's also a really good idea to look at, like, where is my mental health at? Like, is my blood pressure balanced? Is my breath rate where it should be at? Is my digestion effective? Because handling those things can usually help you not only feel a lot more comfortable when you eat, so you don't feel like a bloated marshmallow when you eat because uh-huh. the food's breaking down, but also, like, your brain will start to be able to run right, and your hormones and mood will start to balance out because of that.
Right, and it just, so it's not eliminating life problems. It's just making it to where you can rationalize them and work through them in your head easier. Because if a problem is a 6 or a 7, you know, we can usually deal with that. It's when it's a 10 that you're flipping out. And George Watson's book is great because he talks about, he went into mental hospitals, worked with full-on schizophrenics. They were freaking out, not even speaking a language. And when he fixed their chemistry so that the brain could get fuel, all of a sudden they're like, so where should we go to lunch today?
Right.
You want me to vacuum something?
Target has
yeah.
food.
Yeah, Target has a little court food court thing. So... It really is you got to look at that and when you if you're dealing with eating disorders, and these issues go back to digestion, which is why we're talking about this, because digestion working is how we pull the nutrients out of what we're eating.
Mm-hmm. Barbara from Jackson, Ohio, and Pat both have ulcerative colitis.
So this could be a tricky situation, and a lot of times this can result in chronic diarrhea situations, and the person has to know where a bathroom is. They can't go anywhere without knowing where the bathrooms are, because they may have to go at any time, and it seems to be an inflammation issue, and we talked about, like, Crohn's and colitis in another episode. Why don't you explain the bile issue there? And then I'll explain another issue that can go with this ulcerative colitis stuff.
So the main sort of issue that we'll get when bile flow is not on point is that it'll become too sticky and not flow when it should. And that oftentimes goes along with the catabolic imbalance. And there's some science and stuff behind that I don't quite understand, but I do know that if you focus on fixing the catabolic imbalance and usually utilize some, like, the supplements that we recommend, like Beet Flow and maybe even a coffee enema, it can get your bile to start flowing well.
And what's a catabolic imbalance for people that don't know?
Yeah, it's a Mainly, it's an issue at the cellular level when the balance of the fats that make up the membrane are imbalanced. So there's too many fatty acids and not enough saturated fats or sterols. So it creates this state of like hyperoxidation or excess oxidation, and your body starts to be in a tissue breakdown state, kind of like it's always on, like a car engine that's driving fast, right, as opposed to one that's parked at a gas station fueling up, which is more like the rest.
Can it be parked at Target?
It could be parked at Target, cool. Yeah. And if it was, if there happened to be a pump station, that would be a very closer.
That'd be a cool Target.
Yeah, right.
It sounds more like a Costco.
Right. So that's the opposite side, the rest, digest, rebuild, anabolic state. But the catabolic state is that active on oxidizing car engine running state, which you want to be in during the day. But if you're in that all the time, it creates different metabolic imbalances, one of them being the bile starts to get stickier, which is where you'll end up with things like gallstones. So when that's not flowing well, it's going to cause irritation throughout the intestinal tract because you need that bile to like calm down the sizzle of the stomach acid. And you need it also to break down fats. But what the main damage that's caused by is if the pH of that stool isn't neutralized, you're going to start to cause a lot of irritation, and that's where we'll start to get ulcers.
Right. So that acid, the stomach is built to withstand that acid, to handle it. So when the food leaves it, that's when that bile neutralizes it so it's not acidic anymore. But if there's no bile, now that acid is moving through the intestinal tract, and it's built to digest protein, which is what your intestinal tract is made of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to kind of wonder, is the start of the inflammation just this hot stool digesting the intestinal lining and creating this inflammation? And that could be the case for some people. Another issue is that there's a lot of evidence out there that grains, especially, you know, gluten, can be an irritant for a lot of people. And whether it's because they're not breaking it down or not, who knows. But it's like Rob Wolf, when we interviewed Rob Wolf for the movie Name Drop, you know, he got into this because he had ulcerative colitis and it was really bad and he was very sick. And he dropped grains and got rid of dairy and legumes. And he saw improvement that way. So if you can remove the thing that's causing the irritation, whether it be a food irritant or the fact...
Or a person,
right. Which person do you
mean? I'm going to remove you, Tony. Okay.
So if you can remove it, or the issue of, you know, the hot poop, where it's not cooled off by the bile, no matter which one you remove, you could see some improvement that way.
So they have hot poop coming out?
Well, acid.
Yeah, it's just acid. I mean, it's not...
But it's warm?
Probably.
No, well, I mean, no, but, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, when I poop, I get, like, my butt burns, you know, because it was never neutralized. It's just too acidic.
Okay.
But when it is that acidic and it's burning the intestinal tract, that's when the body's like, get it out of here. And then it brings as much water as it can to neutralize it. But then when you sit on the toilet, you kind of shoot off like a rocket when it comes out because it's in a hurry to get it out.
Have you watched me on the toilet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have cameras.
Okay. Stacy, ever try diatomaceous earth? Could just be worms.
That's what she wrote at the end. Yeah.
But it was a question mark with an exclamation. So, mm-hmm.
I've used it before, and basically my understanding of it is that it's like this, it's just a substance it's natural, you can consume it, but at the microscopic level, it's like broken up glass, and so if you have parasites in your body, when they crawl over it, it shreds them up and they die.
Does it shred you up too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I was like, if a grain can shred up my intestines, can't glass.
It says, I read about it. It's okay for humans, but for animals.
And it is okay, so it's supposed to be fine for us, but who knows. But if you have a parasite issue, it can cause a lot of issues with digestion, a lot of problems. But there are other steps you can do too, but that's kind of what that's used for.
Probably not want to use that if you have ulcers.
Yeah, probably not.
Laura from Columbia, Missouri. For abdominal discomfort, try digestive enzymes before meals.
Sure, Laura. or with meals. Doesn't have to be before, but with. And we use enzymes, and we teach about enzymes in the course. Do you want to talk about why they can be beneficial?
Yeah.
Will, Wolfgang Schmidt?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we do like enzymes a lot. And we help people understand by thinking of them like little like keys that can help unlock different molecules.
They don't dance like the other things?
They don't.
Okay.
They just stand guard and open things. Okay. And that's useful. Like a lot of times when people have issues with particular types of foods, like dairy, simply introducing the right enzymes for them, lactase, can help break down the lactose.
So they may just be missing the enzyme needed to break down that type of food.
Yeah, and it can be a really helpful thing. There's a product we like called Omnizyme, but there's some other good digestive enzymes out there on the market.
It's quite a lot. That's one of those things that's hard to mess up unless you're putting bad binders in it.
Mm-hmm.
But most enzyme products are decent.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that when we cook food over 118 degrees, we kill the enzymes in the food.
Yeah. So it's tricky because there are enzymes intact in foods that are raw, and when you heat them and cook them, you destroy that piece of it. But a lot of other foods like have digestive inhibitors when they're in like a raw state, and so cooking them helps kind of break them down more.
Right.
So it's kind of this weird catch-22. But the most effective, most supportive thing you can do is to, if you do cook your food, take digestive enzymes with it. And if you have problems eating raw food, you might want to cook your food in.
Right. Now, enzymes is a small piece of the puzzle. It's very important, especially the older you get, because we tend to use up our reserve of enzymes. But we could probably find 7 or 8 people on this list of questions that we've had in the past 2 shows where enzymes would not have even budged them at all. It wouldn't have created any improvement, and they would have been like, well, I guess I'm broken. I did what they said, and it doesn't do anything. So you still have to have that structure of stomach acid and bile flow, and then enzymes become beneficial. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of issues that enzymes by themselves will not fix.
Yeah.
Terry from Spokane, Washington. Drink sour goat's milk, or better yet, sour camel's milk.
Okay.
Ooh, we got to find a camel.
I know.
That might be
like
hard.
Like a sour one.
Yeah.
He's got to be mad.
Disgusting.
So
maybe a llama.
We do like goat milk
because sure.
Generally the proteins are closer to like human size, like breast milk. I do not know about camel milk protein.
Closer to human size, like breast milk?
Yeah, well, the proteins in goat milk are much...
You were talking about breasts.
Well, I don't know how big goat breasts are, but the proteins in their milk are generally pretty close to human size, so we like goat milk. Camel milk, I just don't know. And the need for sour ones, I think this gets into the ideas of like you should eat more fermented foods
things, and could be. Yeah.
Well, but like raw milk, like just raw milk that, you know, when I was transcribing stuff for the documentary, that guy that was saying if you can get your hands on some good raw milk, that's really good.
And I think it's more beneficial than pasteurized milk in any type of milk that you're talking about. And there's a lot of, you know, data out there about cow milk not being right for us in any way, but if you're going to drink it, then raw seems to be a better situation.
Mm-hmm.
We also take that dairy digestant thing that I just love.
Right, that can see a digestive enzyme with lactase in there can help a lot of people digest dairy better. And I don't know anything about camel milk either, but I do want to ride a camel.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Maybe not
you
today.
Could Target. Maybe you could ride a camel to Target. Bethany! All she says is H. pylori.
Mm.
Giza Manetti. We got to talk about this one some.
Yeah. I'll say the part I know, and then you can fill in the rest.
Okay.
So H. pylori is a bacteria that can run rampant in your system and eat up all your hydrogen. So hydrochloric acid, stomach acid, is made of hydrogen and chloride. And if you don't have any hydrogen, you can't make hydrochloric acid. So same thing happens when you take a PPI. It also like sequesters all your hydrogen or blocks you.
Blocks your ability to make it. Yeah.
And that's no fun because then you don't have any stomach acid.
Right. So, and the H. pylori likes that because then they can thrive in that environment there. But it can be a very hard situation to eradicate. And, you know, this is actually the reason why PPIs were developed, was for H. pylori. They were looking for a way to starve this bacteria that is very common and very problematic. So they created this proton pump inhibitor, which blocked that hydrogen. So now the H. pylori didn't have food and they starved. But then they were like, ooh, this turns off heartburn symptoms. And they realized that they could market it that way. And that's how all that was born. But H. pylori can be very hard to kill. And if you go to kickitinthenuts.com and you search in for H. pylori protocol in the blog post, then I put a lot of the things that I use. And most people need to use more than one thing. Most people can't eradicate an H. pylori infection by just using one method. You not only need to improve your stomach acid, but you need to do other things to wipe out the bacteria, and usually more than one thing. And here's a tricky thing that I've just been researching in this last month, and it's new information to me, but it's pretty crazy. And what they're finding is that a lot of bacteria like this can create this biofilm where when an infection goes in the body, it's in the planktonic form. Like, think of it like plankton in the ocean. It's just swimming around, and if you put something in there, you kill it. But if it's a chronic infection and they've been in there for a while, they have these sensors that they send out that can be like, hey, who else is around me? And when all these bacteria find out that they're in there together, then they kind of group together and they build like this protein layer around them so that antibiotics can't kill them and other even natural things can't kill them. So they're finding now that you have to use agents to break down that protein barrier and then use something to kill them. And there's a guy, Dr. Michael Ruscio, R-U-S-C-I-O. He has a couple of videos on YouTube that you can search for, and he talks about it, explains a little bit of what's going on. But as long as H. pylori is in there and they're turning off your ability to make hydrochloric acid, they're turning off your digestion. And all these other problems that we're talking about can be created. So it is important to find ways to wipe it out as best you can if you're dealing with it. That's all I have to say about
all
that.
All right, that's
Did
it.
You guys leave?
Sooner no, fan. No, okay. I know. I was taking a nap.
I was okay. Taking notes.
Sooner fan. I don't know if he's a Sooner fan or if that's...
He's just in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants things now.
I carried around... Yeah, I just got that. Okay. I carried around bottles of Tums from childhood till my 40s. Oh, that's an interesting thing.
You should use it or throw it away.
Yeah, exactly. Everything made me burp, belch, and upset my stomach. A plant guru told me to lose the antacid pills and take up Coke and 7-Up, etc. I've not had a problem since then. If I'm burping, belching, bloated, pain, etc., I have a few swallows of pop, and the acid in it aids the acids in my stomach to digest the foods. I will have 2 to 3 large burps and it ends. That was 15 years ago. No antacids since then, but now I'm diabetic.
That was awesome.
Out of the end part.
Yeah, this is a good sort of example of a partial solution, right?
Yeah, or a solution for someone who may have just been on that border.
Yeah.
Maybe they're making some acid, but not enough.
Yeah, and because... Coke and like that is pretty acidic. Like, you think you can clean blood off the highway with it?
Right. Yeah. We just had something that on the Facebook page we were talking about. You can clean your toilet with it and all this
yeah.
other stuff.
Okay. So yeah, that and that can work. And you can also take hydrochloric acid and not get all the weird chemicals and toxins and sugars and stuff that's in Coke. But glad that you found a solution.
Right. But the carbon and stuff in the sodas too can be acidic, and that can be creating more acids. So if you're on that barrier where you just need a little more acid, then it could help you. But you can see that you're still having the problem because you're saying every time it happens, I just have a little and I'm golden. Mm. But if you fix the issue, then you won't need that because your body will make its own.
Yeah, and that's another kind of tricky thing. Like a lot of times people ask me, like, how did my digestion get so messed up? And there's lots of different reasons why you could screw it up, but one of them that's never really talked about is the different imbalances that we get into detail about, like the catabolic issue and the anabolic issue and how those affect the different digestive juices, like the anabolic person peeing out their chloride or the catabolic mm-hmm. person's bile becoming sticky. So those things are going to keep being an issue until you fix those particular imbalances, if that's going on for you.
Right. And we teach how to do that in all our books and in the courses on kicking the nuts. And the digestion course is free.
And like with work, like how did I, like when people ask how did their digestion ever get so screwed up, I just go back like, oh my God, my childhood. Like all we ate was processed, you know, yeah. And we lived in a tiny little West Texas town. There was nothing in the town except a McDonald's and Burger King. And, you know, even now going to the grocery stores there, I never find organic. The only kind of lettuce I find is iceberg. My mom didn't even know that spinach existed outside of a can, you know? So it's like,
it was in cartoons.
Yeah. It's like the like different places. It's regional. I think a lot of it with people's imbalances, because some places are these, I don't know what Michelle Obama calls them, but these dry wastelands of where nobody can get fresh fruits and vegetables or good food. They have like 7-Eleven as their, right, you know, stores.
Well, growing up in my house, if we were out of Little Debbie snack cakes, I was baffled. I was like, what do you mean we're out? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. We had a snack cabinet, you know, yeah. And that's all that we had in the cabinet. And then we had a chip, just a full island, you know, of chips.
In
any
house?
Kind of chips you want, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the weight
that's
problem.
Advanced, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I would be like in third grade, and here would come the Swan Man, you know, and I would go out and get like chicken fried steaks and stuff from him, and I'd fry it in a fry daddy and then grade cheese on it and then melt it in a microwave and then dip it in ranch when I was like in third grade. So
I thought my mom was bad for microwaving broccoli.
Oh, yeah. No. It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can create the issues, but the good news is that you can look at your physiology to start to get some hints of what those issues are, and there are steps you can take to improve them. So if you're living with these horrible digestive issues that are just, some of them can control your whole life, just know that you, if you're willing to do the work, that you can take steps to find improvement.
Cool. And if you have any questions regarding, here I go again trying to, okay, if you're dealing with any of the following issues, we have full episodes on constipation, acid reflux, heartburn, GERD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, food sensitivities, and food allergies. So if you can find any of those by searching for it, then Kick It Naturally on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like a show, please be sure to leave us a review.
And if you have a topic that we haven't covered, then let us know. Go to Facebook and let us know, and we'll show it up.
Yeah, just like us at Kick It in the Nuts on Facebook. And, let's see. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at Kick It in the Nuts. You can also go to Will's body at mybodyofknowledge.net.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also on Facebook, too. I think he has a Facebook page, mybodyofknowledge.net, or mybodyofknowledge on Facebook. Until next week, people.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, the sun is